Good morning, everyone. I would like to ask for your prayers for my family, particularly Anita's family. Ken, her father, is in the hospital. They're still observing him. We're going to be visiting him after services today, so just keep us all in prayer. You know, these bodies are frail. They're going to go back to dust at some point. And while we're here, we should do our best to encourage one another and to live our lives the way that the Lord would have us live them. And while we try to do that, sometimes we're going to run into some snags along the way. So just keep the family in prayer. It's a rough situation going on right now. I would love to tell you about it, but we don't have enough time for that. So the lesson I wanted to put together, and this is at the benefit of a wonderful sister. I'll leave her unnamed for now, but she was instrumental in helping me put this together, and I thank her for her efforts and for suggesting this lesson. But it's on persecuted, something that we should all be pretty much familiar with. Matthew 5, 10, John 15, 20, and 2 Timothy 3, 12 are all verses related to persecution. But when you hear the word persecution or persecuted, what do you think of? Do you think of your fellow Christians, brothers and sisters in Christ around the world being mistreated for their faith? Do you think of the Christians in the first century being beaten or burned and fed to wild animals in the arena? When you think of persecution, do you think of Jesus and what he went through? Do you think of Christians in America right here at home slowly being squeezed by moral oppression? Do you think of yourself as being persecuted? Persecution in the early church had occurred sporadically in localized areas since the beginning. From the moment that Jesus set foot on this earth and when he died on that cruel cross, persecution began. The first persecution of Christians from an organized perspective began in Rome with the Roman government under Nero in 64 AD when he persecuted Christians for burning the city, which they probably did not do. There was no evidence to support that, but nevertheless, that was a persecution, a severe persecution of the Christian faith. Regardless, Christians have been and will always be persecuted. We will always be persecuted till the end of the age. It's a part of who we are. And so it should be of no surprise when it happens. It is to the glory of God that we endure persecution, and it's a small price to pay for that crown of glory that we will ultimately receive. Persecution is, you say, well, what is persecution? Persecution is a systematic mistreatment of an individual or a group by another individual or group. The most common forms are religious persecution, racism, political persecution, though there's naturally some overlap between them. You know, in Romans 8:17, Paul says that now if we are children, then we are heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in his sufferings in order that we may also share in his glory. So when we share in Jesus' sufferings, the hatred, the exclusions, the insults, the rejection that we receive, we become heirs who will also share in his glory in those end times or in the end days. Unfortunately, though, you know, many Christians today operate under the assumption that persecution was something that is part of the church's past, doesn't happen as much today as it did before, and so forth. But members of the body of Christ that currently face severe persecution and restrictions because of their faith in Jesus. Every day of every year, on every continent, men and women of Christ face persecution for the belief in Jesus. Now, let's look at some statistics. This is my kind of small, I think, up here. Christianity is illegal in 50 countries, more than 50 countries. According to an evangelical group, you can find this online called Open Doors, 215 million Christians face interrogations, arrest, torture, and death because of their belief in Jesus. Todd Johnson of the Gordon Conwell Theological Seminary discussed documents that 100,000 Christians, that is 11 per hour, have been killed on average every year in the past decade. 30% of the world's population identifies as Christian, but yet 80% of all acts of religious discrimination around the world are directed at Christians. Terrorism against Christians has increased over 300% within the last decade. There have been approximately 70 million martyrs since the time of Christ. And half of those were just in the 20th century. You know, Christians are a peaceful people. Everyone knows that. But it also makes us a target for persecution because of our nature. It's easy for evil to attack that which will not likely fight back. When we think of persecution, the Middle East comes to mind. It's usually the first place that we think of in terms of severe persecution of Christians. However, hostility towards Christianity is growing in Asia. It's also growing here in the United States. But what about, you know, those allegations about post 9/11 where you hear this term Islamophobic, where people are becoming Islamophobic, you know. A fair-minded assessment of recent events and trends would lead to the conclusion that the scale of severity of Islamophobia pales in comparison with the bloody Christophobia that's currently coursing through the communities of today, from one end of the globe to the other. And you know, there are many kinds of persecution going on in the world today. Suppression of corporate worship or Christian missionaries. You know, China and the Middle East have limitations on where you can worship, how you can worship, and who you can worship. I think in terms of North Korea, for example, where the supreme leader, Mr. Kim Jong-un, is God himself in the eyes of those people. You cannot worship Christ in that country, or you will be thrown in prison or possibly killed. In other countries as well. Other kinds of persecution are forced conversions from Christianity to something else. You've heard the stories of women being... And women get it doubly as bad as men do in some cases because they're forced to marry people that they don't love, to marry out of Christianity and into some other religion or some other faith, all in an effort to survive. You know, there's unpoliced and unprosecuted violence against Christians around the globe. Social, institutional, employment, and legal discrimination against Christians exists in some form or another around the globe. So let's look at some notable persecutions. And before talking about some of those notable persecutions, I want you to know that, look, God has no joy in seeing his people persecuted. But you must understand the reason persecution exists, and that it is to the glory of God. It is why we are here. Because it is him who delivers us. We should view persecutions as an opportunity, not as a punishment for something that, some transgression that we've committed. That's not the purpose of persecutions. Persecutions are for the glory of God. Likewise, it comes in many forms and is not confined to the outside world. There are some internal persecutions that could occur as well. There's self-inflicted persecution. We persecute ourselves sometimes. There's persecution within the family of the body of Christ sometimes. That can happen. When you look at that, that could be things like gossip. That's a form of persecution. Talking about somebody that is in a light that is not beneficial to their spirit or to the spirit of others. That's a form of persecution. Not lifting one another up is a form of persecution. Not treating one another with respect and with love is a form of internal persecution. But most of the persecution we experience from the outside world. That's what happens. Job was persecuted directly by the devil, but also by his wife and his three so-called friends, all of whom did nothing to support him through the trials that Job was going through. You know, God may allow suffering to happen, but he does not cause it. And he ultimately honors Job's faithfulness by restoring what he lost. Joseph is another example of someone who was persecuted by family, by his brothers, no doubt. He was thrown into a pit, sold into slavery, falsely accused of rape by Potiphar's wife, and then thrown in prison again. Jeremiah the prophet was a man who was compelled to speak the truth to a corrupt culture around him, and he was rejected, and he was mocked, and he was put in stocks, and he was thrown down a well. John the Baptist was yet another one. He spoke truth to power, calling out the king for immorality. And because of his boldness, he rotted in prison. He even questioned whether Jesus was the Messiah. He asked that question. And then he was decapitated at the request of the king's daughter, who after she did a seductive dance for him and his friends. So that's some persecution for you. Being thrown in prison, being beheaded. Yeah, that's persecution. What we see today, we may not have the beheading part of it today in the United States, but believe it or not, it is happening abroad. Our brothers and sisters in Christ are losing their heads because they love the Lord in foreign countries. Paul the Apostle was both a persecutor and part of the persecuted. He attempted to destroy the church and said so. Every one of the apostles, in fact, was persecuted for the cause of Christ. And all of them died as martyrs, save John, who died on the island of Patmos. This is where his days ended. But even John was dipped in hot oil, and he survived it. Our Lord and Savior Jesus was the most persecuted of all. He was rejected by members of his own family. He endured the shame of his hometown community who gossiped about his legitimacy. Was hated by the religious leaders of the day. He was betrayed by his friends, his closest friends. Falsely accused, slandered, beaten, and then tortured to death. Jesus, the Son of the living God, was also persecuted. And he even told us as such that we would be persecuted as well. So how are we persecuted? Well, first of all, we're solely stripped of our rights as Christians today. You know, Christians here in America are being slowly pressured into supporting things that clearly go against our beliefs. And the politics of society are making it okay to revile Christians for their beliefs. Take a stand on any given issue today as a Christian and see what happens to you. You will be persecuted. Christians are falsely accused. And there's many of false accusations against our character. You would think that being a Christian, that would give us some elevation in terms of who we are, in terms of integrity and truthfulness, thoughtfulness. But yet there are people out there that will make an effort to throw us under the bus and use our Christianity against us for their own undoing. You know, being a Christian is a tough life. If you thought that becoming a Christian was going to be a piece of cake, an easy ride, it ain't happening. And it never was going to be that way. There's a lot of godless people out there, and they will use your faith against you. There are attacks on the Word of God in the Bible. There are attacks across the board on the Bible. They want to delegitimize the Bible as much as possible. Why? Because it's truth. Because it makes people face sin, face evil, to see it for what it is. That is something that the Word of God is intended to do. It is what brought us to Christ and what the world would like to deny. But it is a tremendous opportunity to not only defend God's word, but to teach and possibly save a soul in the process. That is our opportunity as Christians to against this persecution, is to use the word of God to best benefit and possibly saving a soul. And I'll get to that in a moment and what we can do. There's psychological persecution. Psychological persecution where we're made to feel dumb because we believe in God. There's no respect for God in education anymore. They're teaching our kids in a very subtle way that God doesn't exist when we know that he does. And we have to, as parents, counter all that when the kids come home. There are jobs that force you to work on Sundays or days of worship. And if you don't, then you're fired or written up. What is that? There was a time I remember, and I don't know, I'm old enough to remember, that on Sundays, everything was closed. You couldn't get anything. You had to go to church, and it was absolutely taboo to be cutting your grass on a Sunday. I remember those days. Some of you remember those days, right? Nowadays, you got liquor stores open. You can buy your lottery tickets. You can do all sorts of things on Sundays, the Lord's Day, that you couldn't do just 50 years ago. That psychological education extends into our colleges, where Christians are persecuted daily for their faith. You know, we have two generations of kids, godless kids, that were taught things that amount to persecution of Christianity, whether it be evolution, whether it be the age of things, the age of the earth, the age of discoveries that take place, things that they find out. We talked about this in Sunday school this morning a little bit in Romans chapter 1, where people have changed. People, the Apostle Paul in the first century talked about the things that are happening today, the very things of where people are taking and glorifying man over God. That's what we talked about. And that's exactly what is happening today. There's also economic persecution. You know, in Germany, 2 years ago, in Germany, they passed a law legalizing prostitution. 2 years ago, they passed that law. And now they have unemployment benefits just like we do here. They'll help you try to find a job. They will help you get some form of employment. But get this. There was, under Germany's welfare reforms, which just happened actually last year, any woman under 55 who has been out of work for more than a year can be forced to take an available job, including in the sex industry. So that says that if you're a woman and you're under 55 and you're looking for work and you've been out of a job for a year and you're getting assistance from the German system, they find you a job, they can have, and this, and I actually read this just a few days ago, where they, a Christian woman, was offered a job as a prostitute. And when she said no, they cut her benefits. Cut her completely out. This is the world we live in. Is that not persecution of the worst kind? It certainly is. But that's persecution. You know, and there's, of course, the physical persecution which we hear about and we read about and we see it on the news all the time of our brothers and sisters in Christ being attacked, killed, beheaded, tortured, mistreated in every conceivable way around the world. That's the persecution that's going on. And there's many other types of persecution. I'm sure that you can think of a few yourself. But that is the persecution that our brothers and sisters in Christ are undergoing. You've heard about the stories of the bakers who wouldn't bake a cake for the LGBT community being sued. And photographers. I myself am a part-time photographer. I do it for fun. I also used to do it for money. But there was a time, and in fact, the media company that I owned, there were certain jobs I couldn't take. And I had to keep it quiet. But I could have fell under persecution. And there are photographers who have been sued because they wouldn't take pictures of a event that they did not spiritually agree with. And if you don't think that can happen to you, it certainly can. Something to think about. So, are you proud to be a Christian? Well, of course, the answer to that is yes. Are you willing to be persecuted for it? Ooh. It better be yes for that, too, because he said that it would happen that way. So, those are some of the things of how we are persecuted. Let's look at what we can do. What can we do about this persecution that goes on in our world today? First, we can lead people to Christ. How about that? We are the light of the world. Darkness hates light. Evil hates truth. When you speak the truth to someone, you are being a light to them. When you lead people to Christ, it's about building them up, not tearing them down. It's about encouraging them, making them feel that they are important. So leading a person to Christ is the first way that we can deal with persecution. Because we're gentle people, because we don't pose a threat, it presents a tremendous opportunity to talk to people about the Lord. But it also opens us up to that persecution that's inevitable and that will come. Jesus was persecuted more openly and more overtly and more exquisitely than anyone else that ever lived. If they persecuted him, they're going to persecute you. Most certainly. They will persecute you to the fullest extent of even if the law allows. By focusing on Jesus' persecution, though, it helps to see whatever we are going through in a clearer light. You know, Jesus had been, you focus on Christ who was persecuted most of all. When you're persecuted, kind of doesn't, it's like, well, it wasn't that bad actually, huh? After you see what Jesus and you consider what he went through. Rely on the Comforter, that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit only comes one way, and he comes through the obedience of the gospel. And you got him, each and every one of you got him when you obeyed that gospel. And he will give you the gift of the Holy Spirit. It's what Peter tells us, Acts chapter 2, right? Well, the Holy Spirit is a comforter. When Jesus walked this earth, he was the comforter. He was here. He was guiding people in the way that they need to go. He was their counselor, their guide, their friend. And while he was with them, he instructed them. And he tolerated their prejudices and their ignorance and had administered consolation to them when they were despondent. The Holy Spirit was to be given as compensation after Jesus ascended, which he did. And when they came, when the Holy Spirit came to us, or came down to us, he was now our comforter since Jesus was on the right hand of God. The Holy Spirit was given as compensation for Jesus' absence and to perform the offices for which Jesus performed when he was here. So we have the Spirit. What do we do with that Spirit? Well, we see things as they are. We see the truth as it is. We call it out as it is, even if it means that we might be persecuted because of it. It means we don't ignore it. It means we live with it. And then we pray, well, we comfort and protect one another. We comfort and protect one another. Why? Because we're a family. Who here would not protect a family member? Everyone would. You're going to bring them into the fold. And I can tell you, during the persecution of the first century, that's exactly what they did. People, fellow Christians, would invite other Christians into their homes secretly, quietly, keeping them away from those that were looking to destroy them. Renounce Christ or die. People were protected because they were brought into their families, their homes, and protected that way. We need to do the same. And then likewise, pray for the persecuted and the persecutors. You know, we must pray for intercession for the persecuted sisters and brothers, making supplication for all the saints, Ephesians 6:18. Pray for their oppressors as well. Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, Matthew 5:44. Pray that they will sense God's presence from Hebrews 13. Pray that they will be able to forgive and love their persecutors. Now, this is very hard. Someone's persecuting you, you don't want to love them. That's a natural emotion. You almost want to bop them in the head. You don't want to love your persecutors, but we are required to. So we need to do that. We need to think in terms of what's beyond this life. This life is just not it. Oh, my goodness, if this life was it, oh, my. No. We think beyond that. That's where we need to have our heads at all times. We need to pray that they will experience the joy of the Lord even amid the suffering. And pray that they will know you and other Christians are praying for them as well. 2 Timothy 1:3. So, look, we're going to be persecuted, folks. It's going to happen. We need to be ready for that, and we need to deal with it. And we need to not be surprised when it happens. Don't be surprised. And seek the counsel and comfort of your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ as appropriate. In conclusion, look, you will be persecuted for the cause of Christ for the rest of your days. In fact, it's required that you be persecuted for the cause of Christ. Why? Because it gives the glory to God. And it shows how much you love the Lord. 2 Corinthians 4:8-10, we are afflicted in every way, but not crushed. Perplexed, but not driven to despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying in the body the death of Jesus, so that the life of Jesus may also be manifested in our bodies. You know, have no fear of persecution. I can tell you, persecution is personal. If they're persecuting you because of your faith in Jesus, they're persecuting you. That's a personal thing. You know, in Philippians 4:19, and my God will supply every need of yours according to his riches in glory in Christ Jesus. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. So being persecuted is a fact of the Christian life. And we're going to have to deal with that. And in this world today, particularly here in the United States, we're going to have to deal with it on an intellectual level, more so than on a physical level. Yes, there's some physical persecution that's going to happen, and it happens out there. But intellectually, that's where we're really being attacked. That's where we really need to try and fight that battle. Is intellectually. whether it be with the kids, whether it be in our workplace, wherever it might be. Do not allow anyone to deny you your faith. Take that persecution, take it with pride, and hand it all to the Lord and give the glory to God. If you have a request of the church, please feel free to come. If you have not been baptized into the body of Christ for the remission of your sins and receive the gift of the Holy Spirit and are able to partake in the family that we have here at Lebanon, you're welcome to do so while we want you to come while we stand and while we sing.